Amen. Thank you very much for that. Ladies, please take your Bible, turn to Psalm 77, the 77th Psalm. If you can, and you will, please stand for the reading of God's Word, Psalm 77. A couple of psalms right here in a row that apparently, because they are right here in a row, belong together. Isn't that nice? And so the thought actually carries into the next psalm, but we're going to kind of dwell on the first part of this psalm and do these in sections so that we can understand a little bit about why these make sense together. And if you'll remember, it's kind of like today, and we don't normally always sing about heaven or sing about the blood, but we do have a purpose in the songs. They should have some kind of message developed by the time we get done singing them. And that's what this section, especially with Asaph as the writer, if you think about this, he was the one who prepared the music for the worship. It was given to him, and then he designed where it went, how it went, sometimes putting music to it, what kind of instruments would be played with it. Other times those are very specified. But very interesting here, this section of Psalms, and so looking forward to them. But the Bible says there in Psalm 77, to the chief musician, to Jeduthun. So Jeduthun is the now the head songwriter or leader for temple worship in this area. It says a psalm of Asaph. I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever, and will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? Selah. And I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people. Thou hast with thine arm redeemed thy people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. Selah. The waters saw thee, O God. The waters saw thee. They were afraid. The depths also were troubled. The clouds poured out water. The sky sent out a sound. Thine arrows also went abroad. The voice of thy thunder was in the heaven. The lightnings lightened the world. The earth trembled and shook. Thy ways in the sea, and thy path in the great waters, and thy footsteps are not known. Thou leddest thy people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for the word of God that reminds us who you are. And God, I'm thankful that we see here this anguish, this questioning that we often ourselves have concerning very simple things that we know about you, but that questions that are good to ask because there's but one answer to each one of these. And Lord, I pray that we would be able to this morning focus on your word. And no doubt there are people here who are struggling with deep problems, some things that have kept them awake at night. And I pray that we would see your hand in this message. And then as we focus on you, that we would see only you and trust only in you. And I pray, God, that you'd guide my lips, my mouth, give me understanding by your Holy Spirit and unction, Because certainly there is no way for man to convey these thoughts, and there's no way I would fall far short. There's no way that we can even fathom the depths of this. And so I pray that you would help me to have understanding and how to speak. And I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Once again, we're kind of in a theme here. Asaph really stays in this theme most of the Psalms that he writes. And they're themes of conflict within yourself. Not fully understanding why it is that is. Why God is this the way that it is? Why am I going through this at this time? Sometimes it's, God, what are you trying to teach me? Other times it is, God, I'm sorry for putting myself in this position. These are all things that Asaph deals with very well and very methodically, because you can tell the difference between the Psalms that he writes and the Psalms that David writes, because David obviously was driven by a lot of emotional things, by the greatness of God, by the omnipotence of God. He was really enamored, and should be, with God. And so every one of his psalms kind of start off maybe a little troubled, but then suddenly it's all God, and there's praise, and there's worship, and there's adoration, where Asaph is a little more subtle. In fact, if you kind of even think about verse number 20, it's like he left off in the middle of a thought. It's, I get that, but how does that help? Well, to get to where it helps, we're going to have to understand the first part of this, and I think it's best to go through it in two sections. We'll do this one this morning, and then the remainder of it tonight, because how do we get to where we are, where he is in the latter part of this? And you can see the process here. So first of all, in verse number one, it gives us, once again, not to be redundant, but to be redundant, because this is actually the theme, I cried unto God. When you have a problem, let's say that you have a big problem with me. You try to go to Twyla and you would say, I have a big problem with your husband. You know what she would probably say? We're going to have to go talk to him about it, because, I mean, I have problems with him every day, so you'll have to go work this out yourself. You go to the one you have the problem with. This isn't a problem. If you listen to what we just read, this isn't a problem with a person. He has a problem with God. Now, he's not mad. He just doesn't understand. And so the Bible says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. When the Bible says something twice, it really wants us to pay attention to how he's crying. I've gone through this before. Spurgeon brings it out every time this is in here. The reason you cry out with your voice is because when you hear yourself crying out to God, it makes a connection in your mind. I know to whom I'm crying out. I am crying out to God. I'm not crying. Watch, it helps adjust your attitude so that you're not crying out to God in a bitter spirit against him. You're not crying out to God in a matter of questioning his power. You're crying out to God because you have a problem, and you want the problem resolved, and you know that God's the only one who can resolve the problem. So whatever this situation is, and we don't really have to know any specific historical application to this. Some people always try to make that connection, but not every psalm was written to make a connection to a particular time as much as it is to show us a pattern of the way things should be when these times come, no matter what times they are. Because if you go to Psalm 51, and when we go to Psalm 51, we recognize that David certainly has a problem that he needs to confess and get right to God. And sometimes we read that psalm as if it's not applicable to us all the time, but the attitude of Psalm 51 is necessary all the time when you're praying to God. that I am not worthy to call upon you. I'm not worthy to be looked upon. I am evil. There's not a person in this room who is not just as deep evil as any other person in this room. And you can say, I would never, but you have. Because by saying I would never, you've already done it. Well, Brother Ryan, you can't tell me I'm evil. That's our problem. God's already declared for all of sin to come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So to think that you're better than any person in this room, no matter how good you think you are, you're never going to get through to God, because God gives grace to the humble, but He resisteth the proud. Every time. So He says, I cried unto God. The word cried means His voice was pleading. He was offering supplication to God. He's broken. This is a problem that I have, God, that I understand I cannot fix. Listen to what Jesus said in Luke 11, 8 through 10. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Persistence is required. So Jesus is telling the parable of the man who had a visitor who came, and he had nothing to feed his friend, and it was late. This person who came in to entertain him, as the custom was. And so he goes to his friend, his next door neighbor, or the person who lived in his compound, and he begins to cry out to him and say, hey, I need food. Give me a lamb. Give me some bread. Give me something that I can give my friend here. And the Bible says that the man inside says, we're all asleep. Leave us alone. And then Jesus says, I'm telling you, although that friend denied him, because of the importunity. Importunity means this man continued in his pleading. I need your help. I have nothing to give. He could have even been saying, I'll give it back. I just need it tonight. Because of his pleading, then the neighbor gets up and gives him what he wants. Here, this says twice, I cried unto the Lord with my voice, unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice. Emphatic statement, I am crying out to God. You know, you can cry out to the government, you're never going to be heard. By the time you get through the red tape, they don't care. You can cry out to your husband. He may not know how to respond. You can cry out to your wife. You can cry out to your friends. And they don't know. They don't get it. You can cry out to someone who maybe has been through, let's say, almost the exact same thing you have. But they are not going to have the same response as the God of the universe, who can be touched with our infirmities, the Bible says. That's why he says, I cried to God. Why? Ask and ye shall receive. This is Jesus talking about going to God. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Maybe you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ, and you're at a dead end in your life. There are problems in your life. There are things going on that you just flat out don't understand. It's time to cry out to God and say, God, I'm a sinner. Jesus Christ is the only Savior. Why? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We need Christ because we have fallen short of the glory of God. There's no way we can get to God on our own. If God were to weigh our good and our bad, our good would outweigh our bad every time. No matter how good you think you are, you'll never get to heaven without Jesus Christ, because He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Cry out to God. Maybe you're here and you are saved. You've accepted that. Quit crying out to the people who can't do anything and start crying out to God. Why? Well, that thank you for asking, because the whole message would be lost if you didn't ask. He said, in the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. So when it began, I sought the Lord. My sore ran in the night. Now, what this the sore means, my vexation, my deep pain, the agony that I was in, like a sore. So my open wound in my soul, this was deep, deep pain. I didn't understand. And so in the night, it ceased not. Have you ever gone to bed at night and your brain's going, this was last night for me. I was actually thinking about this verse whenever I was laying in bed. And the problem with me is I have to get up. I have to go somewhere else. I have to read the Bible. I have to pray. Because if I don't, I'll flip-flop all night. Because my mind starts running and I start thinking about something. And whether it's a problem or not, it just is what it is in my brain. Now, you may sleep like a baby like Twyla. God bless you. She had no idea I was in agony. If I would have awakened her and said, I need to talk, she would have said, because she would have never awakened. Now, I'm not mad at her. I'm telling you, I know her. I've awakened her for other reasons, and we had a complete conversation, and she forgot what it was the next morning. So it's useless going to Twyla because she doesn't wake up. God never sleeps. I'm lying awake at night. I need somewhere to go. I need to go to God. He said, I was on my bed. My mind was troubled. I was perplexed. It doesn't matter what your problem is, what your deep problem is. Now listen to me. This is what we forget. And that's the need for this, going through this step by step, is that we forget that when I am troubled and my wound or my anxiety is so open and raw that it keeps me awake at night, and I'm laying there with my eyes wide open going, why can't I go to sleep? This is such a problem. Your mind continually goes over it and over it. That's what he means. It's like a sore. It's running. It's open. I don't understand. So he said, my soul refused to be comforted. When I knew I should be comforted, my soul said, no, this is not settled. You know you're supposed to go to sleep, but you can't. It doesn't matter that you have to get up in the morning. You're awake. I can't stop. I can't stop thinking about this. He said, I wouldn't even be comforted. If somebody would have said to me, well, here's what you need to do, I'd have gone, shut up. You don't need to tell me what to do. You don't know how I feel. Would not be comforted. This is a deep, deep anguish that is directed toward, or a problem that is known that only God can fix. I know in my life, I don't know about your life, but in my life, and just like Peter, James, and John, when Jesus went to the garden and he began to pray, he prayed to the Father. He said, you better pray, because the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You better pray. Hey, Peter, Satan would sift you as wheat. I prayed for you. And they, what did they do? They slept. They slumbered. Why? Because there was no connection that what was coming up, they needed only God's going to be able to get them through. They need God. Jesus knew that. That's why he was praying. He wasn't praying. He was praying as an example, saying, if I have to do it and I'm the Son of God, you better do it. Well, here, he says, I would not have been comforted. I knew that God was the only place to go. So I remembered God and was troubled. This is a very interesting statement here, because when you're seeking God, sometimes when you find God, you say this, why would God answer me? I mean, really, if I think about it, I deserve to be like this. Why does God care? Why would he care? Well, because I'm remembering God, how holy he is, how just he is, how righteous he is, how right He is and how what the good that He does. And sometimes when I remember God, I'm a little troubled and I complained. Oh, I can't take this. And my spirit was overwhelmed. What am I going to do? I love the next word, Selah. Just stop right there and start thinking. Rest. Pause. Is this something that we do? Isn't it amazing that it's right after the words, I remembered God and was troubled? So what I remembered about God was, well, I'm getting what I deserve. If you want an example, this psalm really fits well in reading Job. Because this is Job. He's complaining. He could not be comforted. Sorry, comforters, you're all my friends, and you're saying you're my friends, and you're the worst comforters in the world. I wish you could be in my shoes. Now, they weren't right, but I think they were trying to comfort, although they did it a very poor way. When he begins to complain, now he complains. He says, I complained. I was so troubled that my spirit was overwhelmed. It was like there was nothing that could fix it. And then this. Okay, now stop. Let's think about this. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone and they're talking and they're just going off and you have no idea what to say? And you say, stop and listen to what you just said. Listen to what you're saying. Listen to what he says. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. If I stop and think about it, this is going on in me because maybe God has something for me. Maybe I didn't do something wrong. Maybe God is trying to help me and I don't recognize the help. I'm not seeing the help. So now listen to what he says in verse number 5. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song of the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Wait, in times past, how did I deal with this with God? What is the thinking? And this is all this is, it's thinking. What is the thinking that started bringing me back into focus of right type of thinking? So I remember, you know, God, He does want fellowship with me, and so I am so troubled, I can't speak. Remember what the Bible says in Romans chapter number 8, 26 and 27, that we don't know how we should pray? We don't know how to pray as we ought, but His Spirit, who knows the Spirit of God, knows exactly how to pray and utters groanings that we don't even know. This should be the place that we get to where we begin to say, God, I just don't know what to do. Here is our typical response, and I'll say this about medicine because it seems to be the most controversial thing going on besides government. But I think we're all settled that government's never going to settle anything. But here's what we do. Well, this doctor, dot, 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 and that doctor, dot, 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 and this doctor, dot, 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 dot. And then I went to another doctor. You know what? They don't know anything. Welcome to reality. It's not only they don't know anything, but we as a whole people don't know anything. God said, your thoughts are not my thoughts, your ways are not my ways, because my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You're never going to be able to understand anything. Sometimes you're going to ask, and you're not going to know. Paul didn't. He asked 3 times, and God finally said, my grace is sufficient for thee. So Paul said, you know what? When I got that message, I said, well, then I would rather suffer to glorify God than to live in despair This is where we are. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. You know, the first thing you and I can do to start getting our mind right is to recognize that our mind needs to be right. That's the biggest battle. That's why you won't be comforted. Because your mind is not right. I'm not talking about your off balance, you know, chemically imbalanced. I'm not talking about you have a problem. I'm talking about you have the same problem all of us have. And it usually starts with P-R-I-D-E. We think we know what we don't know, but don't tell us we don't know because we know. How dare you say I don't know? I know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. Next question. Well, why aren't you doing it? That's none of your business. I won't be comforted. The thing I love about Twyla, many things. Let me not just narrow this down to one because then you're going to go, oh, well, at least you love her for that. I love many things about Twyla, but one of the things I really appreciate deeply about her is whenever I have pain or problems where for a day I can't move or I have some kind of, let's say, surgery or whatever, here's exactly how she does. She comes to the den and she says, can I get you anything? And I usually very kindly, I usually say no. And she says, okay. And she walks away. She doesn't try to fix it. Now, when she starts fixing it, that bothers me. Well, you know you're going to have to do this, and you know you're going to have to do this, and you know you're going to have to do this. I'm trying to tell you about my brain. I know what she's saying is true, but I'm not doing it because she's telling me to. Well, I'm not that way with my wife. Bet you are with God. And that's why we need our thinking changed. How dare he tell us? Well, here, I remember the days of old. I remember ancient times. And when he's talking about ancient times, come on, these guys were already living in ancient times for us. He's thinking about the days of old when Moses, he's thinking about the days of old when God came into Egypt. He's thinking of the days of old when God descended. And here's what he says. Same God. You know why? He's trustworthy. He's a trustworthy God. He doesn't change. I change. He doesn't change. He's trustworthy. No, I remember. And then I start asking myself these questions, and I know the answers to them. I call to remembrance my song of the night. I commune with my own heart and my spirit. Made diligent search of God. And then I start asking this question. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? He's not asking this question because he doubts God. This is a question he's asking saying, no way. Why? Because I remember him of ancient times. He's already established who he is. Watch! He doesn't have to prove to me who he is. He doesn't have to prove to anybody who he is. He's already done that. Will he cast off forever? No. And will he be favorable no more? No, he's going to be favorable. Is his mercy clean gone forever? No. Doth his promise fail forevermore? No. Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Oh, no. Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies? No. Selah. Think about that. Get your mind thinking about who God is. He's trustworthy. When he says he'd never leave us or forsake us, that's exactly what he means. No. Let's go down the line. I'm not trustworthy. Well, you should be. I'm a man. I'm not. Neither is anybody in this room. We've all made promises. Let's just get it all lined out, even to our own kids that we've broken, so you're not trustworthy. How many times do you have to lie to be a liar? Once. The problem is we've all lied. We just think that that last liar is the worst liar. When in fact, God's never lied. You need somebody to trust? He's trustworthy. That's why he cried to God with his voice. Unto God did I cry with my voice. Why? Because when I think about it, when I go back and I stop thinking so much about what's going on out here or in here, and I start thinking, you know, God, when I begin to think right, God starts working in me to see him in the right way. And now all of these questions come. Is God going to do this? Is he going to forsake forever? Is he so angry that he's going to cast us off? Is he going to stop his grace? Is he going to stop his mercy? No, 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 no. Why? Well, he's God. He doesn't do that. No, no, he's not man. I don't know what your conflict has been with someone in the past, but I can tell you in my past, I'll do even better. In Paul's past, he trusted people that ended up not being trustworthy. And he named them. But you know what he never said about God? I trusted God. He's not trustworthy. No, no, no. He is the one who wrote, hey, he said he would never leave us or forsake us. He's still good. He's still right. Let me ask you. Whatever your conflict is that's keeping you awake at night, are you going to God, the only one who's trustworthy? You'll see tonight what happens when you start seeing God from the right perspective. What changes in your thinking about your situation? It's necessary for us to get to the first place first. You know what? God does have the right to deal with me however he sees fit to get me to the place where I'm starting to see him from the right thinking perspective. Whatever I'm in, doesn't matter whether I made it or I didn't, he still wants to have a relationship with me. All I've got to do is change this. And stop saying, I'm not going to do that, and say, you know, I'm going to do that. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around.